Good morning. Oh, good morning. Coming in hot this morning. Welcome to this worship service of the First Baptist Church of Ann Arbor, Michigan. Can we adjust the sound? Welcome to this worship service of the First Baptist Church of Ann Arbor, Michigan. We're delighted that you're here in person on this beautiful, sunny Memorial Day weekend. I know people are out traveling, visiting their homes in northern Michigan, what have you. We're glad that some of you are here, and also glad that some of you are watching online. We're a hybrid community here in Ann Arbor. I'm Rick Mixon, the transitional pastor of the church, and I'm especially delighted to be in service with you in this time of transition. You'll see in the pew racks ahead in front of you little prayer cards. If you have a prayer concern, a joy or a concern that you'd like lifted up in our prayer time, please fill out that card, and during the first hymn, the ushers will pick those up and bring them to me so we can include them in the prayer time. And there are also connection cards in your bulletin. If you fill that out, we'd love to have that information from you about what's going on with you and First Baptist this week. Next Sunday we'll have Youth Sunday. So the youth, I think, will be working on their service after church today. Otherwise, there are no events except for our fellowship time after worship this morning. No adult formation, no children's ministry, no youth children's choir. We're taking this day off. But please come next Sunday for not only for a wonderful service that our youth have planned, but also afterward we'll be doing the last of our events for our transformation by transition project, Dreaming Our Future. And we, a group of us that have been working on it, plan a really fun event. So come and play. It'll be intergenerational. It'll be stuff for children of all ages to do, as we dream a future and imagine things that might be wonderful for First Baptist moving into the future. You see also in the bulletin there is a note from our ministry, Mission Action Board, about Avalon Housing, if you would pay special attention to that. And Gretchen Sanuski has a word for us from our Pastoral Search Committee. Gretchen.
Good morning. I'm representing the Pastor Search Committee. We'd like to give you some updates on our process so far. We have been meeting regularly, and at our last meeting, we listed out all of the tasks that will be necessary for this process, and then assigned leadership roles, and we are working with a shared leadership model, which seems to be working really great. So our next meeting is June 2nd. I know the bulletin says June 9th, but we are also meeting on June 9th. Well, we have a regular meeting scheduled for the 2nd, and then we're hoping that our American Baptist Churches of Michigan regional representative will be able to meet with us on the 9th so that we can get some additional resources for the process that lies ahead. The Pastor Search Committee wants to ensure that we have consistent and transparent communication with the congregation. So to that end, we will have regular updates in worship, in the bulletin, and in the church e-newsletter. And we now have a designated email for the Pastor Search Committee through First Baptist Church. So that is listed in your bulletin. But I will also say it, that the email address is PSC, for Pastor Search Committee, at fbca2.org. So the team will be checking that regularly, and we will respond back to you. So if there are ideas or suggestions or prayers or encouragement you'd like to share with the committee, please feel free to do so via email. It truly is an honor for all of us to be a part of this important work on behalf of First Baptist Church, and we are grateful for all of your partnership and your support and your prayers. Thank you.
please join us in a responsive call to worship. The Beloved is gracious to us and blesses us. The Radiant One shines upon us.
Oh, that love's way be followed in all the earth, love's saving power among the nations. May the people rejoice in you. May all the people sing with gratitude to the Beloved.
Let the nations be glad and give thanks, for you call the people to integrity and justice.
You guide the nations upon the earth. May the people rejoice in you. May all the people sing with gratitude to the Beloved.
The earth yields its harvest.
The Beloved blesses us. Yes, the Beloved blesses us. Let us abandon ourselves into the heart of love.
Please join me in our opening unison prayer. Living God, long ago, faithful woman proclaimed the good news of Jesus' resurrection, and the world was changed forever. Teach us to keep faith with them, that our witness may be bold, our love as deep, and our faith as true. Amen.
Thank you.
Acts 16, verses 9 through 15. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to him. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in the city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the woman who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Spirit opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to Christ, come and stay at my house." And she prevailed upon us. The word of God for the people of God.
Friends, we just heard a story that Lex read about Paul and some people who were going around to tell others about Jesus. This is when Jesus was no longer on the earth anymore, and they wanted to go share stories about who Jesus was and what mattered to him. And they arrived to a group of people who are at the river. What are some things people might be doing at the river? What do you think? They might be fishing. What else might they be doing at the river? Yeah, go ahead. They might be getting water. Yeah, they might be using the water to wash. We're so glad you're here. Yeah, we love that she's here with us. Yeah, welcome. They might be washing with the water. They might be drinking the water. They might be fishing. They might be doing all kinds of work. Well, there was a woman there named Lydia. Can you all say Lydia? Lydia. She was there working. She was in charge of selling the purple cloth, a special royal kind of cloth. She was a businesswoman, so she knew lots of things. She knew all the things you'd need to know in order to run a small business. Who would want the thing you had to sell? How to sell it? How to get it? How to make it? All these things. She knew lots of things. And when these people came to share more, let's leave her be so that she can answer herself. When the folks came to the river to share about Jesus, even though she knew lots of things and she had been worshiping God, she stopped to listen. She didn't say, "Oh no, I already know lots of things. I don't need to know anything else. I know everything." No. She said, "Oh, I'll listen to what you have to say." I love this part about Lydia. So, I wonder if you've ever heard the word alliteration. That's when we have lots of words that start with the same sound. In this case, Lydia starts with what sound? An L. Lydia. So Lydia listened and learned. She didn't think she knew everything. Does anybody know all the things there are to know? No. So we always need to listen and keep learning. And I love this about Lydia. So listen and learn. Do those both start with an L sound? Listen and learn. And Lydia, let's add the word "let's" at the beginning and turn it into a prayer with a whole bunch of L sounds. But "and" doesn't, so we're going to say that one quietly. So we're going to say this. Here's our prayer. Let's listen and. Can you whisper that prayer? Let's listen and learn like Lydia. Yeah, so we know lots of things, but we're going to keep remembering to be good listeners and to be good learners, because we always have more to learn about who Jesus is and what Jesus wants from us and for how we live together. So can we pray that prayer? Do you think we can do that prayer 3 times in a row with all those L words? Let's try it. And it goes like this. Let's listen to it again one more time. Let's listen and learn like Lydia. Y'all can join us. Are you ready? Here we go. Let's listen and learn like Lydia. Again, let's listen and learn like Lydia. One more time. Let's listen and learn like Lydia. Lots of L words. Let's be like Lydia. Let's be listeners and learners. There's always more to learn about what Jesus wants for us, how to do love right. Amen. All right, let's head to church school together.
Let's pray. Oh God, your Son remained with his disciples after his resurrection, teaching them to love all people as neighbors. As his disciples in this age, we offer our prayers on behalf of the universe in which we are privileged to live and our neighbors with whom we share it. God, you come to us sometimes as a mother hen wanting to gather us under your wing and bring us comfort and nurture. Sometimes like a mother eagle, you feed us and grow us and then push us out of the nest to learn to fly on our own. We're grateful today for both your comfort and nurture and your encouragement to fly. We pray for this world in which we live, indeed for this universe that's beyond our understanding, beyond our grasp. Forgive us for the ways in which we have not cared for it, not loved it as you have loved it. And so help us to learn from you to be caregivers, to be lovers of all creation, to temper our use of things and resources in ways that respect and care for nature. God, we live in a world that's torn by strife and arguments and incidents of violence, especially gun violence in this country. There are wars and rumors of war. There are bombings and drone attacks. There are bodies strewn in the street, homes destroyed, schools and hospitals laid low. There are people who are starving to death. And yet we seem obsessed with a kind of budget that fails to care for the least and exercise compassion in this country in which we live. We pray for forgiveness for the immorality of budget proposals that don't care for the common welfare of all your people. God, we know there are people in our own lives and hearts who are struggling right now with loneliness, looking for a place to be fully included. We know there are people who are suffering with illness, We know there are people that are experiencing the joy of task completed, of the end of a school year drawing near. And we pray that you would bless our joys and our concerns as we lift them up to you. You know the concerns and joys of our hearts that we have not identified or articulated out loud. And we lift up these that have been raised among us. We pray for the family and friends of Aaron Luchensky and Sarah Milgram, for Marlene and Arthur Francis, for John Vanderleet and John's family, for Grange Burnside and Grange's family, for David Gregg, for Joan Blunt, for Becky Lepley, for Bob Reynolds and Kristen, for Rob Snyder, for Roberta Hawes, for Mervyn Eucharts, Esther Floyd, Catherine Carty, for Chuck Suits, Linda Berg, Marilyn Marsh, Pidgey Caroli, Dakota Lawson, Bill Nummy, Helga Mortensen, Lindsay Grace, Greg Dubois, Cindy Okarski, Keith Maurer, Beth Granberry, and Faye Key. Open our hearts to your power moving around us and between us and within us until your glory is revealed in our love of both friend and enemy, in communities transformed by justice and compassion, and in the healing of all that is broken throughout your creation. And now we say together that prayer that Jesus taught his first disciples, saying,
Thank you.
Thank you, Ben, for filling in for the choir this morning, and I'm delighted to say thank you to Gail Jennings, who's filling in for Shanae for the next couple of Sundays while Shanae's in Korea visiting with family. Please join me in this responsive litany of belief. We're Baptists, so this is not a creed. If there's anything in it that you don't want to affirm, you can just skip over that part. But this is a litany of belief, not a creedal statement. From Bruce Brewer, the Australian pastor and poet. We believe in God the Creator, whose providence ingrains all things since the first explosive moment of time and space, in the purpose which veins this planet Earth and its array of living plants and creatures, in farmers who love the Earth too much to exploit and exhaust it, in city people who respect water too much to waste it, in old folk who still exclaim at rainbows, and children who dance in sun showers. We believe in God the Savior, who in Jesus has inside knowledge of the glory and the shame of the human race, in the wounded healer who shared both the pain and the wonder of Easter love, in the young who give their hearts to him as the way, the truth, and the light, in busy who take time for Christ in the hungry and thirsty, the prisoner and the sick, in ordinary followers who dare go the second mile and forgive their enemies. We believe in the God of God, the Holy Counselor, who comes from the Creator and Savior to be our friend and our helper for all time. In the friend who gives us the strength which unfolds in human weakness, in people who understand that love is by far the Spirit's choicest gift, in those who have found riches available within the poverty of the church, in all who rejoice in the spring of joy which bubbles up into eternal life. We believe at least this much, and sometimes much more, because God, the Creator, Savior, Counselor, has embraced and baptized us with a new name which is forever, called us to be good stewards of our unique planet home, and sends us out to become agents of reconciliation among all people. Words. And then hear these words of assurance. The word which can transform us is not some idle gossip, but good news for us. It fills us with forgiveness, equips us for service, and sends us forth to love others as God loves us. In our midst, the Holy Spirit teaches us all we need to know, gives us what we need in order to be faithful, and fills us with peace. Thanks be to God. Be seated. Let's see if I can remember the prayer for this morning. Let's listen and learn like Lydia. Let's listen and learn like Lydia. Paul, Silas, and Timothy were on a mission, which kind of makes sense since they were missionaries. Or I guess being on a mission might have been what made them missionaries. Regardless, they had news, and they had an agenda. They took off from Jerusalem, fresh from a welcome ruling by the apostles, elders, and church in Jerusalem, that it was not necessary for Gentiles to be circumcised to become full-fledged members of the Jesus movement. This was a big step forward for the missionary work of Paul and Silas and Timothy among the Gentiles. Remember, Peter himself had stood before the assembly and proclaimed to the Gentiles, God, who knows the human heart, testified to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did us. And in cleansing their hearts by faith, he has made no distinction between them and us. And the venerable James, brother of Jesus and head of the church in Jerusalem, had concluded after listening to Paul and Barnabas and the other missionaries to the Gentiles, I have reached the decision that we should not trouble those Gentiles who are turning to God. Well, you can imagine that Paul and his posse were eager to spread this good news to all the places where they had already done missionary work, to the churches they had planted throughout the Gentile world. In addition, they wanted to check in on those fledgling churches to see how they were doing before striking out to spread the gospel to new venues. The only trouble seemed to be, as the writer of Acts reports, the Spirit kept blocking their way. Every time they would lay out a new plan to move north into Asia or northwest into Bithynia, the Spirit seemed to say no. Well, you know what they say. Want to make God laugh? Tell her your plans. Still undeterred, our intrepid band kept moving west, believing that God yet had work for them to do. And finally, they reached the port of Troas on the west coast of Asia Minor, now Turkey. And now what? They waited. They waited there for word on what was to be next for them. And then one night, Paul had a dream that contained a vision. It was a time when visions were still common. In his dream, he saw a figure across the sea in Macedonia, in Eastern Europe. The man stood there pleading with Paul, come over to Macedonia and help us. Well, Paul and his entourage didn't have to be asked twice. They were eager for the next adventure the Spirit had in store for them in spreading the gospel. They booked passage on the next ship, and in 2 days' time, they first set foot on European soil at the Macedonian port of Neapolis. Shortly after, they found themselves in Philippi, a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. Make of it what you will, the writer of Acts seems to say that the Spirit blocked their way to other regions because God had plans for them to go to Macedonia all along. This was the next step in spreading the gospel to the ends of the earth. And since this was such new territory for them, they spent several days in reconnaissance, scouting the city, familiarizing themselves with the life and culture of the community. However, on the Sabbath, they did what they always did. They looked for a synagogue, or at least a Jewish assembly, where they could pray and keep the Sabbath traditions. Now, apparently there was no synagogue in this Hellenistic Roman city, so they looked for the most likely place where a group of observant Jews might gather on the Sabbath. They headed for the nearest body of water, likely a creek, probably not a river, just outside the city wall. And though they were limited to how far they could walk on the Sabbath, the need for fresh water to serve the ritual cleansings that tradition required seemed to necessitate a gathering creekside. And sure enough, they found what they were looking for, a small group of Jews and followers who had come down to the river to pray. They sat down among the people gathered there. The writer says, the women. It's not clear that there were only women gathered, but it is also not necessarily surprising that it would be a group of women who gathered to pray, that it was women who kept the faith and opened the way for the gospel to take root and flourish. We've seen this scene repeated over and over throughout the centuries. We've quipped, in fact, several times in this Eastertide that without women preachers, there would be no church. There would be no Easter. It was the faithful women among Jesus' followers who discovered that empty tomb and first heard the good news that he was risen from the dead. In spite of the skepticism of the male disciples, the witness of the women was sunrise for a new day in the life of the Jesus movement. He wasn't there. He is risen as he said he would. We saw the empty tomb and the angel presence with our own eyes. Among the women who'd come down to the water to pray that day was a woman named Lydia. Now, it appears that Lydia was a big shot, a Silicon Valley CEO, a wealthy entrepreneur who had made a bundle selling high-priced goods to the 1%. However, success and wealth were apparently not everything to her. For here she was sitting on the creek bank with the other women who almost surely were beneath her in rank and resource. Her deep need for something more in her life than material well-being had drawn her to this curious religion from the East. The writer says she was a worshiper of God, or a God-fearer. This means she was among a group of Gentiles who were very much drawn to Judaism, but had stopped just short of becoming full converts. The text says, the Spirit opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. But you know, my guess is that the Spirit had been working on her heart and in her life long before Paul appeared on the scene. Her longing for something more in her life had brought her down to the creek and into this community of Jews and other God-fearers to listen and learn, to talk and pray, before she'd ever heard of Paul or Silas or Timothy. Paul showed up right on time, God's time, to seal the deal that the Spirit had already been negotiating for some time in Lydia. Ronald Cole Turner writes, here is the center of the story, the moment of intersection between human obedience and divine initiative. Longing and grace meet there on the bank of the river. The longing heart of a faithful woman is opened by the gracious impulse of a faith-giving God in an action that, like the incarnation itself, is at once fully human and fully divine. Like Lydia, we are astonished when, looking back, we can say only that our steps were guided and our hearts open. Lydia was ripe to hear the gospel and to embrace it. I've been waiting all my life to hear word of God who is love and so loves the world that she is willing to take human form to walk with us on this challenging and at times treacherous journey we call life. Praise the God who is among us, full of compassion and grace. A woman's witness to the good news. God in Christ is reconciling the whole of creation to herself, even me. Since love is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? And in her first act as a Christ follower, she's baptized with her whole household, pledging to center her life in the Jesus movement and to walk the Jesus way. And her second act is to welcome Paul and company into her own home as a sign of her new life. Here, Paul's much-beloved Philippian church is born and flourishes, inspired, nurtured by a woman's witness. The lectionary has other rich texts that we could have explored today, but I chose to focus on this little story about Lydia because in spite of some meaningful progress, women continue to be misused and abused in public life. The incomprehensible and reprehensible actions of groups of largely old white men, yes, I know I am one, still seek to demean women and strip them of the right to manage their own lives and bodies. Attempts have been made to normalize rape and its consequences. There are places where disrespect for women has sunk back to a first century low. David Forney observes that in New Testament times, visions of God were not strange occurrences, but a woman cast in a role beyond that of being property was exceptional. In our day, the outrageous behavior of those who seek to limit the agency of women is simply evil. A woman's witness to the truth as she sees and understands it is every bit as valuable and therefore to be valued as any man's. One would have thought we had grown beyond such a narrow, misogynistic view as treating women as objects, even property. Forney continues, in Acts we hear several stories of women responding to God's vision with the same faithfulness as their male counterparts. These women, like Rhoda, Tabitha, Eunice, Priscilla, and Lydia, lead the first century church with integrity, energy, and command. And too often their stories are not told or honored. A woman's witness is an important witness. It can be a world-shattering word as often as it is a life-giving one. Lydia is an example of one woman whose witness has made a difference for many over the centuries. In fact, I submit that it is a witness that is still relevant today. I have a good friend who every time she posts some piece of significant news or reflection on Facebook begins her own comment by writing, read and learn. read and learn, or as Van told us, listen and learn. It wouldn't hurt to listen and learn. Over the years, I've had several male friends remark that it might be beneficial for men to be quiet and let women speak for themselves. That's probably a wise thing to do, so I will end this by pledging to practice keeping quiet and listening for a woman's witness, any woman's witness that will help me see the light and draw me closer to grasping the way, the truth, and the life. How about you? Amen. Now, as the ushers come forward, this is the time in our service where we give back to God a portion of that with which we have been blessed. Gracious and generous God, Mother of us all, All of us rely on the care, support, and example of others to teach us about the ways your transforming spirit is at work in our world. May these offerings reflect our desire and our commitment to keep your word, to promise the promise of renewing love for all of creation. Amen. And now I invite you to greet one another with the peace of this day. May the peace of Christ be with you and also with you. peace of the Creator, the wide midnight sky, bright dew on the lawn, the songbird at dawn, the child's lullaby. Peace of the Savior, love for the outcast, the rest that endures, sure mercy that cures, the cross at last. Peace of the inspirer, the breath of the friend, life of the newborn, hope of the forlorn, the joy at lad's end. Go now in peace to love and serve God and God's creation. Amen.